Hi, Dave Emery here. Side one of For the Record program number 801, The Sportin' Life. This is being recorded on July 6th of the year 2014. As I'm speaking here on the weekend of the American Independence Day holiday, a large percentage of the human race is foaming at the mouth for one reason or another, either the joy of victory or the agony of defeat, so to speak. They're foaming at the mouth over the World Cup. I find it sort of interesting that Americans think themselves very erudite and semi-aristocratic for following soccer as opposed to what the rest of the world calls football, what we call soccer. They consider themselves to be somewhat sophisticated and cosmopolitan, worldly wise, and civilized, etc. What we're going to be doing in this program is taking a look at how corrupt the world of sport is in general. We're also going to be taking a look at the profound fascist connections to the sporting world as well. In particular, we're going to be taking a look at the almost endemic corruption on the International Olympic Committee. Brazil, by the way, that is hosting the World Cup, is also going to be hosting the Summer Olympics. That is somewhat appropriate because, as we are going to see, the FIFA organization, the World Football, or what we call Soccer Association, is inextricably linked with the International Olympic Committee. And in turn, that is very strongly connected to the Adidas firm. Adidas and Puma, the two sportswear firms, were founded by the Dassler brothers. That's D-A-S as in Sam, S as in Sam, L-E-R. They are two German brothers now, or I guess they became estranged. They have links, not surprisingly, to the Third Reich, and also, according to a number of reports, the SS as well. Both Puma and Adidas are, in all likelihood, part of the remarkable and deadly Bormann Capital Network, about which we speak so often. And the world of FIFA, the world of soccer, the world of the International Olympic Committee and the Olympics, the world of organized crime, the world of corporate corruption, and the world of fascism, both at the street/populist level and at the corporate level as well. Well, the world of fascism, the world of soccer, what the rest of the world calls football, and the world of the Olympics are one and the same. Not coterminous, but they are joined at the hip. We're also going to revisit in the second half of the program the subject of organized crime and the NFL, and also a very interesting take on a bizarre sporting event in the early 1970s, an aging, one-time very successful tennis pro named Bobby Riggs took on one of the reigning female tennis players in the world, Billie Jean King. This was hailed as the Battle of the Sexes. Eventually, Billie Jean King won. As we're going to see, that turned out to be something other than as advertised. In For the Record program number 766, we took a look at something that is really quite well documented, and that is the link between soccer fans or fans of a particular football club and fascism. In 766, we took a look at the very significant pro-Ustashi sentiment among Croatian soccer fans, and when a member of the Croatian national team led them in an Ustashi chant from World War II, he ultimately was banned from competing in the World Cup by FIFA, or at least most of it. You can actually hear that chant at the end of For the Record 766. Nazi and fascist demonstrations have been front and center at the World Cup in Brazil, as have racist demonstrations, and this despite the fact that FIFA had explicitly enjoined against this kind of activity. It would seem that the security in Brazil is, shall we say, less than vigilant. From Yahoo News of June 21st of the year 2014, this is by Graham Watson, W-A-T-S-O-N. Nazi sympathizer invades pitch during Ghana-Germany game, and it reads as follows. FIFA's plea to eliminate racism at this year's World Cup continues to fall on deaf ears. Despite a vehement campaign from the organization and pleas and public service announcements from teams and players, it has been one of the overriding themes of the 2014 World Cup, parenthetically, racism, that is. The Anti-Discrimination Fair Network, FARE, which made reports to FIFA about the matter on Thursday, noted that there were several neo-Nazi signs at matches involving Russia and Croatia. And on Saturday, it took center stage again when the Nazi sympathizer rushed the field during the Ghana-Germany game. No security attempted to stop him as he took off his shirt to reveal a pro-Nazi message. He had to be ushered off the field by Ghana midfielder Sully Muntari, M-U-N-T-A-R-I. Several German fans also showed up at the game with their faces painted black. It sure seems like FIFA and stadium security personnel could do a much better job of finding these people and escorting them out of the stadium. After all, a campaign to eliminate racism isn't much of a campaign if you don't do something to actually help stop it from happening. Well, I think that article speaks for itself, despite the fact that FIFA officially said, let's keep the racism and the fascist demonstrations out of this year's World Cup. In fact, no such exclusion has happened. And one has to wonder if perhaps security has been tipped off. Because what we're going to do now is to dolly back. The camera is going to pull out and get a wider angle. And what we're going to be looking at is the profound connection between the International Olympic Committee. Bear in mind that Brazil will be hosting the Summer Olympics later this year. We're going to be taking a look at the International Olympic Committee, and they'll be hosting the next Summer Olympics. I believe that's later this year. Anyway, we're going to be taking a look at the International Olympic Committee and its profound connections to FIFA, the international football, or what we call soccer, organization. In fact, the two are inextricably linked, and some of the connections to look at here. We're going to be taking a look at the Dassler, basically Adidas, that along with Puma were founded by the Dassler brothers with roots in the Third Reich, and by some accounts, one of them in the SS. The current head of the International Olympic Committee is a guy named Thomas Bach, and Adidas has been paying bribes, according to account, to various elements of the soccer-slash-football milieu for quite some time, as we are going to see in the person of people like Sepp Blatter, people like João Havelange, H-A-V-E-L-A-N-G-E, the world of FIFA, and the world of the International Olympics Committee and the Olympics are very, very close indeed. There is a tremendous degree of overlap. The Adidas firm is front and center in that element of overlap, allegedly having paid millions of dollars in bribes, something that has gone overlooked. Now, Thomas Bach, the current head of the International Olympic Committee, comes from Adidas slash Dassler. In turn, Thomas Bach was a protege of a guy named Juan Antonio Samaranch. That's S-A-M-A-R-A-N-C-H. Now, Samaranch, by the way, I may very well be mispronouncing some of these names. Samaranch was for a long time the head of the International Olympic Committee, president of it. That is the position that Thomas Bach holds now. Thomas Bach was something of a protege of Juan Antonio Samaranch, and Juan Antonio Samaranch appointed, basically selected, roughly half of the current International Olympic Committee. So basically, roughly half of it was selected by Juan Antonio Samaranch. Juan Antonio Samaranch is a doctrinaire Spanish fascist. For years, he was Francisco Franco's Minister of Sport in Spain. He was the Spanish fascist minister of sport under the fascist dictatorship of Francisco Franco. And again, one cannot separate out the International Olympic Committee from the milieu of Juan Antonio Samaranch, and that includes Thomas Bach. As we're going to see, the International Olympic Committee quite accurately is termed in a Nation magazine article that we're going to be examining. It's an article called Meet the IOC, Ideal Candidates for a Perp Walk. It's by Andrew Jennings, J-E-N-N-I-N-G-S. This was published in the Nation magazine of February 10th of the year 2014. Now, again, in addition to the Olympics, note the profound degree of overlap between the Olympics and FIFA. Note also the central role of Adidas / Dassler in both. Thomas Bach worked for Adidas. And note also the endemic marrow-deep corruption afflicting both the IOC and also the overlapping FIFA. And again, Thomas Bach became a favorite of Juan Antonio Samaranch, the head of the IOC, the individual who selected roughly half of its current membership. He was formerly Francisco Franco's Minister of Sport and was an unapologetic fascist ideologue. Again, Meet the IOC, Ideal Candidates for a Perp Walk by Andrew Jennings of The Nation of February 10th of 2014. Remember that publicity shot from The Usual Suspects with Kevin Spacey in the lineup? The photo above is an update snapped late last year in the boardroom of the International Olympic Committee in a marble palace on the banks of Lake Geneva. This lineup has 13 men, most past middle age in business suits and ties, and two women, the big cheeses expecting the best seats in Sochi. Dead center is the new IOC president, Germany's Thomas Bach. We'll come back to him, but for now, know that Bach, 60, was a protege of Horst Dassler, D-A-S-S-L-E-R, the German businessman who bribed more sports officials than most of us ever heard of. Dassler's family owned Adidas and a marketing company as well that laid out $100 million in kickbacks to acquire TV and marketing rights to the Soccer World Cup, the World Track and Field Championships, and the Olympics. At Bach's right shoulder is the Swiss boss of world soccer, Sepp, S-E-P-P, Blatter, B-L-A-T-T-E-R, as in Roger. For decades, Blatter didn't notice hefty bribes being trousered by his colleagues in return for giving World Cup contracts to Dassler companies. Accused of handling a $1 million bribe intended for Joao, J-O-A-O, Havelange, H-A-V-E-L-A-N-G-E, himself a former president of FIFA, the International Soccer Federation, and doyen of the IOC, Blatter hired investigators who reported that there was a misunderstanding and that he was no more than, quote, clumsy, unquote. Havelange resigned in disgrace from the IOC in December of 2011. Blatter survived despite losing 8 of FIFA's 23 executive committee members to scandals in the past 3 years. That's a little over a third. An FBI-organized crime squad now digging into FIFA's embedded corruption has a cooperating witness in Miami and probably another in New York. Blatter, scheduled to be played by Tim Roth on the big screen later this year, might not make it to Sochi. At Bach's other shoulder is Lamine Lamine Diak, D-I-A-C-K, from Senegal, president of the IAAF, the International Association of Athletes Federation, and also on the Dostler gift list. I disclosed these bribes for the BBC program Panorama in 2010, and a year later, the IOC rebuked Diak. But the lords of Lausanne forgive and forget, so now he's back at the heart of Olympic idealism. Looming over the diminutive Blatter, smiling broadly, dark curls tumbling around his shoulders, is Sheikh Ahmad Al-Fahad Al-Sabah, S-A-B-A-H, the kingmaker for Thomas Bach. Fahad is the 50-year-old stripling of the group, a past chair of OPEC, a Kuwaiti royal, and by far the richest member of the IOC. Committee members seem unconcerned by a 2008 U.S. embassy cable disclosed by WikiLeaks saying he was, quote, widely perceived as being corrupt, unquote. Personally, I can't imagine that a member of a Middle Eastern oil kingdom's royal family might be corrupt. I'm shocked to hear that there was gambling going on in that establishment. Continuing with Patrick Jennings' Nation article. Next in line, and another attentive supporter of the Sheikh, is Patrick Hickey, 68, that's H-I-C-K-E-Y, who has risen from an unremarkable background in North Dublin, his reputation guarded by a sharp-tongued lawyer. In private correspondence in 1991 with one of the bribe payers on the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics bidding committee, Hickey revealed that some IOC members were selling their votes for $100,000 to rival wannabe Olympic hosts from Nagano. At the time, he was gunning for membership of the IOC, but said nothing to its officials. It has done him no harm that he never snitched. Hickey gets cozy with people many of us wouldn't invite home to meet our loved ones. Seeking a wealthy patron in Europe to pay for a regional Olympics to mirror the Pan American Games, and not finding any takers among reputable leaders, Hickey turned to the president of the National Olympic Committee of Belarus, whose day job is being Europe's last dictator. Ignoring Belarus's unenviable doping record, Hickey presented the thuggish Alexander Lukashenko with a plaque commending his, quote, outstanding contribution to the Olympic movement, unquote. But Lukashenko is broke, so Hickey pursued the oil-rich president of the Azerbaijan Olympic Committee, another head of state. A noted kleptomaniac and jailer of reporters, Ilham Ilham Aliyev, A-L-I-Y-E-V, has reportedly offered millions to fund the event in 2015. A step away, listen up, National Hockey League people, is a former dentist, René Fazel, F-A-S-E-L, now the Swiss boss of international hockey and one of the biggest cheeses in Sochi. 3 years ago, the IOC's Ethics Commission reprimanded Fazel for a curious deal involving the payment of 1.9 million Swiss francs, or $2 million, by a Swiss marketing company to a former school pal for, quote, advice, unquote, on acquiring winter sports contracts. Fazel vigorously denied palming a slice, but admitted, quote, a case of poor judgment, unquote. The CEO of that marketing company, which obtains massive contracts from FIFA, is Sepp Blatter's nephew, Philip Blatter. The company used the offices once occupied by the Dostler company. Thomas Bach, who won a fencing team gold medal at the 1976 Montreal Olympics, spent a couple of years working for Dostler's quaintly named International Relations, unquote, team. Days before the vote that elevated Bach to Olympic leadership last September, German TV station WDR aired allegations that Bach was involved in, or at least aware of, cheating in the years that he competed. Apparently, offenders held a wet glove to their electric scoring jacket. Their opponent's strikes didn't register. Bach refused to comment, but his spokesman denies everything. On elevation to the Olympic presidency, Bach resigned his championship of GORFA, G-H-O-R-F-A, a German-Arab business group that emphasizes its boycott of parts made in Israel to ensure its lucrative exports to the Arab world. An Amnesty International official has criticized GORFA's considerable involvement in arms sales to the region, saying it is, quote, not interested in promoting fundamental human rights, unquote. After the photo lineup at IOC headquarters, Bach sped to the UN and talked up the Olympic truce, an IOC fantasy that claims its sports extravaganza spreads world peace. Global warriors take note that combat is forbidden off-piste during February. If this delusion ever came to pass, it would depress Olympic partners like General Electric, whose engines power death-dealing F-16 fighters and Apache helicopters. I would also note it was during the Sochi Olympics that the coup and covert operation in the Ukraine came to a head. Continuing. IOC President Bach is at ease with the likes of GE. From the early 1980s, before joining the International Olympic Committee, he lobbied for the end of amateurism, the starting point for the privatization of the Games. He became a favorite of former IOC President Juan Antonio Samaranch, S-A-M-A-R-A-N-C-H, once sports minister in Franco's Spain, and a 37-year loyal fascist. I attempted to ask Samaranch why his right arm was so much more muscular than his left. That got me a 7-year ban from IOC press conferences. Half of the current 107 IOC members, 8 of whom are princes or princesses, were chosen by Samaranch. His final appointment was his son, Juan Antonio Jr. New members were initiated in a bizarre ceremony, halfway between the style of the mob and the Masons, overseen by the chief of protocol, who used to be Pal Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-T-T. He stood down as Hungary's president in 2012 after being accused of plagiarism and stripped of his doctorate. The IOC removed him as chief of protocol, but he remains a member of the committee. The ceremony involves the chief of protocol holding a huge Olympic flag. He swings it down to waist level, and the initiate, grasping a corner, swears that he or she will respect, quote, the decisions of the IOC, which I consider as not subject to appeal on my part, unquote. But basically, it's an allegiance of blind fealty, so to speak. Off camera are other Olympic Committee members, Francis Guy Drut, D-R-U-T, convicted of fraud but amnesty by former French President Jacques Chirac, Lee Kun-hee, the Korean boss of Samsung, who was convicted of evading $39 million in taxes, but Samsung is an Olympic sponsor, and so Lee was forgiven. Then there's Russian member Shamil Tarpishev, T-A-R-P-I-S-C-H-E-V, once Boris Yeltsin's tennis coach. He has problems traveling to the U.S. For the past 2 U.S. games in Atlanta and Salt Lake City, his visas were delayed, and then his travel was restricted to the area of the event itself. In Russia, Tarpishev has been accused of mafia associations, which he denies. It has not helped that he has been photographed with Anlimzan Tokatunov, that's T-O-K-H-T-A-K-H-O-U-N-O-V, the Russian mobster accused by the U.S. government of fixing the Ice Dance Medal in Salt Lake City, and Princess Nora of Liechtenstein's secretive family bank has long been the choice of tax felons and money launderers, also the Bank Altaqua and the Underground Reich, the House of Liechtenstein, very close to the House of Habsburg. One of the most notable events at the Olympics took place in 1972, when the Palestinian Black September group massacred 11 Israeli athletes at that Olympics. There has been a series of articles, very good ones, from Der Spiegel. However, one of them has been very difficult for me to locate online. So I'm going to quote a different article. There are many references to it, but I have not been able to find it myself. In 2012, it came out that the German government had been made aware of the plans by Black September to attack the Olympics, but security remained remarkably lax. And we had talked about the 1972 Olympics massacre and the fact that a BND officer named Hans Langemann was in charge of security for that. More about Hans Langemann later. The Times of Israel had one of the many articles referring to the Spiegel article. Other Der Spiegel articles about the 72 Olympics are online themselves. This one I had trouble finding. The Times of Israel article is from July 22nd of 2012. Germany had a tip-off 3 weeks ahead of Munich massacre, Der Spiegel claims. Germany had a tip-off from a Palestinian informant in Beirut 3 weeks before the 1972 Munich Olympic massacre that Palestinians were planning a, quote, incident, unquote, at the Games, a German news magazine charged Sunday. The foreign ministry in Bonn took the tip-off sufficiently seriously to pass it on to the Secret Service in Munich and urged that, quote, all possible security measures, unquote, be taken. But the Munich authorities failed to act on the tip, which was passed on to Bonn by the German embassy in Beirut, and have never acknowledged it in the ensuing 40 years, Der Spiegel said in a front-page story to be published Monday, but made available online in German on Sunday. The failure to act on that tip-off at the time, and the subsequent failure to acknowledge that it had even been received, Der Spiegel added, is only part of a 40-year cover-up by the German authorities of the mishandling of the 1972 terror attack, in which 11 members of the Israeli team were massacred by Palestinian Black September terrorists. Quote, the federal government in Bonn and the local government of the state of Bavaria committed grave errors in their handling of the attack on Israeli athletes during the Olympic Games in Munich and have kept the true extent of the failure under wraps until today, Der Spiegel asserted. For the first 20 years after the massacre in Munich, the German authorities refused to release any information about the attack, nor did they accept any responsibility for the tragic results. On Sunday, Der Spiegel said it had obtained hitherto secret reports by authorities, embassy cables, and minutes of cabinet meetings that demonstrate just how amateurish the German officials were ahead of the September 5th attack, which also claimed the life of one German policeman. We're going to review some of our file about the 1972 Olympics massacre on side two. We went into that at great length in anti-fascist archive shows, AFA show 22, which, like all of the rest of my life's work, is up on the SpitfireList.com website for download for free. So please take advantage of that. This concludes side one of For the Record program number 801, The Sportin' Life, being recorded on July 6th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.